Thank you. Appreciate it. I was told, man. Justin Daniel is begging for a shout out, so there you go. Justin, you too. You're the man. Oh, I want to thank you so much just for your kindness to me. And I'm so grateful that my wife and daughter are here. They've had a very busy week. We're trying to get, unfortunately, our house ready. And then we're heading out this Friday to Washington to take care of some things. And so a lot of back and forth trips. But, you know, I just want to reflect back for a moment. I remember when I first sat in the staff meeting, I walked in, and I guess I had sat near Brother Collins, and he said, "Man, you look like you were in a daze." And I had gone from 6 years of working at City Baptist and, you know, walking the hallways there with the Imperial March music in the background as I walked down the hallways. And, you know, and coming here to this setting, I did not know what was coming. I remember my first class that I taught. I was coming from a high school, junior high setting, and I was waiting for the bell to ring here at the college, literally. And I said, "Man, it's time to end." I thought, well, surely if there's no bell, I'll hear students running. And I realized that we're in college and everybody's walking around like a zombie down the hallways. And so I got accustomed to that right away. But I just remember those early days and many nights. Brother Matt Millen preached in our institute last night. He said something that really made a lot of sense to me. Many nights just having on my dinner table, I'm so grateful for my wife and daughter. They were patient with me and had books all over the place studying, literally studying that night for the next lesson day by day by day by day. I was given five classes. Pastor said I was part-time, but I was given five classes. I'm not sure what the definition of part-time was, but then Brother Douglas gave me two at the Institute. So as a part-timer, I was teaching pretty much a full load, but just studying and learning and growing, but a lot of late nights. But, you know, I want to say this. That song was just unbelievable, just beautiful. And as I was going through and just looking at their faces and thinking, I've had the privilege of having each and every one of those students in my class. I was telling Mrs. Siegward as we were walking down the hallway last week, and it was college days, and hearing the orchestra play. And where do you hear stuff like this at Hiles Anderson College? And what a blessing. You have no idea how blessed you are to hear the music, the instruments, and then the singing that we have all the time, and the preaching, and especially the preaching from our pastor, Pastor Wilkerson. What a blessing he is. I hope he's been a help to you. He's been a tremendous help to me, and I'm so grateful. I was telling the men in the background, in the back room, that got a little bit choked up because I was just thinking about every time I preach, I'll shoot a message to Joe Vasek, John Horton, a Tom Hertzel, a Danny Mendez, a Danny Allen, other preachers, and about to preach, and everyone, boom, 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 praying for you, standing with you, and but probably the two people that move me the most are my 80-year-old parents. Pray for me. And I appreciate that. Appreciate you being a blessing here at our college. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a Bible study, and then I'm going to give you my heart. I'll tell you when to close your Bibles. I want to speak to you this morning on a very important subject, and I won't give you the title yet. But I am going to ask you to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. Leviticus, chapter number 6. And I am so grateful for the honor of being able to stand behind this pulpit and to preach to you. And thank you, Brother Mitchell, and those who made that decision. I don't take it lightly. And so Leviticus, chapter 6. I have had the worst year, though. My goodness. I've been sick 3 times this year. You all are making me sick. And, you know, Brother Dominguez, can I come to your office? And some of you have noticed I have a can of Lysol in there, and I have used that thing up just about, but maybe you don't. Okay, you'll be there too, Justin. Don't worry. But, man, I tell you what, I don't know what it is. I wash my hands. I take my vitamins. I do everything that I possibly can. Somehow, it has worked me over this year. So let's go ahead. I'm not getting old. Leviticus chapter number 6, verses 8 to I had a bunch of nice things to say here, and man, I'm just going to scratch those off. Everything, you know, nice things to everyone else, just not Justin Potter over there. How about that? All right? Just go out. Just walk out right now. And, go to sleep like you normally do. And that wasn't nice. Why did you make me say that, man? I know. Don't feed the animals. As soon as you start feeding them, they just respond. They don't let up. So let's go ahead and stand. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 to 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 to 13. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them aside beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Let's pray. Lord, in these moments of chapel, these are so important. Chapel's made a difference in my life. And the men on this platform can say the same thing. The faculty and staff members who are sitting before me can say the same thing. Chapel was a pivotal moment in my life. Use chapel sermons, messages, Lord, to help me, to keep me going through those years. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do this once more. I pray that you'd use me, help my voice right now, help me to think on only what you would have me to think. Help me to say what you'd want me to say. Lord, I want to minister to our college students, and I want to be a blessing to them. So, Lord, give us a holy hush in this room as we hear from your word. Please speak to our hearts. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. In just a few weeks, you seniors will walk across the platform to receive your diploma. And some will get married in just a few weeks. And I know Phil Scudder is getting close there. How many days, Phil? 44, 45. Good. Something like that. I just see fingers. But you know, some will get married in a few weeks and establish your own homes, and some will take on a position, a full-time ministry somewhere in this country, and some will stay in this ministry patiently waiting for God's direction. For the underclassmen, some will stay here for the summer and work your job, work your bus route, maybe even take some summer school classes and catch up on a few credits. But most of you will pack up and head home. Spend time with your family, work a job, and I pray that you'll go and be a tremendous help to your pastor and your church. So I want to speak to your hearts this morning. And in this passage of Scripture, I think it's very evident in Leviticus chapter number 6 that we see that the fire on the altar had to continually burn. But in order for it to do so, the altar had to be kept clean. And the evidence of yesterday's fire had to be removed. Each of us have experienced the highs and lows of college life. We've experienced victory as well as defeat. We all came to this place lacking so much. But God did something for us. He stirred our hearts in chapel. He put a fire in your heart and gave you a desire to do something big for God. You were given truth from behind the pulpit and in your classroom. You experienced His goodness and faithfulness. You saw prayers answered. But you and I cannot live by yesterday's victories or even be defined by our failures in the past. We must realize that there is a world that must be won, and we've all been called of God to personally take the gospel to the world. And for that reason, the fire must continually burn. I want you to turn to Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah 10. Very quickly, Nehemiah 10. I will give you again, as I mentioned earlier, a quick Bible study, but just look at Nehemiah 10. In verses 1 through 29, while you're turning there, you see a long list of individuals. And we see here that revival was taking place in the hearts of God's people. Because all who heard the word of God read and explained, they now committed themselves to obey all that they had heard. And that's a blessing when God's people all come together and their hearts are stirred and they all, as one man, decide, we're going to do what God wants us to do. Nehemiah, one of the great leaders of the Bible, one of my favorite Bible characters, he's at the top of that list. Following after Nehemiah in verses 2 through 8, we see the priests. And then in verse 9 to 13, we see the names of the Levites. And then in verses 14 to 27, we see those that are following as well. These are the other leaders of the people. In verse 28, I want you to notice what the Bible says. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Verse 30 says a little bit to relate to verse 28, but separation, we find that separation takes place because idolatrous Gentiles had surrounded the remaining Jews, and the danger was coming. There was a danger in coming together in marriage, and if that were to happen, there would be division in the home because of different beliefs, dietary laws, the celebration of feast. But then eventually there would be an abandonment to their spiritual heritage. And we see that today. Conflict, compromise, and conformity. And so separation must be important to every one of us. Look at verse 29. They clave to their brethren and their nobles and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God. I'll just stop. Well, let me finish. And his judgments and his statutes. There was a seal that was placed upon this document. And this seal meant a solemn oath before the Lord. And this oath before the Lord was not to be taken lightly. How important it is for every one of us, your future leaders. And it's important for us to make separation unto God a daily commitment. I want you to notice what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 7:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Separation is the key. But I want you to look at verses 32 to 39. We see that there's a commitment to the house of God. I probably, because of time, won't be able to read these verses, but let me say this. As you read this portion of scripture from verses 32 to 39, what we'll see 9 times is the word or the phrase, the house of our God. And this was referred to as that restored temple. God's people were promising God that they would obey him and provide for whatever was necessary for the ministry of the temple. Now here's the message. I want you to look at verse 34. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering. Notice that word, wood offering, those two words, to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord, our God, as it is written in the law. Where did we see that? We saw that in Leviticus. The fire of the brazen altar had to burn continually. It needed a steady supply of wood. It's interesting that something simple like wood would be so important to the service of God. You know that not everyone could have been a Levite or a priest or be able to provide a lamb or oxen for a sacrifice, but everyone could bring wood to keep the fire burning. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. That wood, if we could just use it as a reference or an example, is your life, your influence. And I want to say this, God is not concerned about what you don't have So many of us are focused on all the things that we don't have in our life and our inability. And Pastor used the word, I'm so glad he spoke about that, inadequacy. God is not concerned about what you don't have. God wants to use what you do have. As I think about leadership, not everyone's going to be at the forefront of a large church or a thriving ministry, but everyone can bring wood for the fire. You may look at your life and say, I'm a little bit shy, I'm timid, I'm bashful, I get embarrassed, I'm indecisive. So many times I get panicked. I even feel spineless at times. I'm apprehensive, I'm fearful, but everyone can bring wood for the fire. I remember being in college here that first year. I know you have a hard time believing this, but I was so shy. And I'd walk out of Rice 3, and that was a wild man's floor back in our day, but we'd walk out of Rice 3, and I think it was all, our whole division just about up there, but I'd walk out of Rice 3, and to get to my classes over here, I would go through the basement. I didn't want to see anybody. My head was down, and I just carried whatever I needed for class, and I'd walk to class with my head down, and I'd go through the basement and go from class to class. I just didn't want to see anybody. I enjoyed people, but at the same time, I was just very insecure, very shy. You may look at your life like that and say, how is God ever going to use me? I'm so shy. Somebody asks me to do something, I get red in the face, I get embarrassed, and I clam up. Listen, I don't care who you are. You may be shy. You may feel like you don't have all the leadership capabilities or abilities, but you can bring wood for the fire. You can bring your life. You can bring your influence. You bring what you have. You may look at your life and say, I don't have talent. Man, when God handed out talents, I did not get much or I didn't get anything. You may lack skill. You may lack competence. You might feel like you lack knowledge, or you lack all the qualifications. Hey, by the way, Hiles Anderson is the place where you learn to get everything that you need to go out there and do something big for the Lord. You stay with it. You stay put. You go to every class. You get close to the staff. You get close to the faculty. You get everything that you need, and God will give you the power and the grace and the tools. He'll equip you for what he's got set up for you in the ministry. You may look at your life and say, man, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do anything. But listen, you can bring wood for the fire. You may look at your life and say, I don't lack knowledge. You may have dropped some classes this year. You may have over-absenced. You may have taken on too many classes this semester. You may have not have done as well as you thought you should have or could have done. But everyone can bring wood for the fire. Some of you have a roommate right now. He doesn't even have to study. She doesn't even have to study. But you have to study 2 and 3 times more than everybody else just to get an average grade. That's okay. Everyone can bring wood for the fire. Listen, God is not concerned. I said it already, but he's not concerned about what you don't have. He wants to use what you do have. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you, but you got to bring that wood to the fire. You may look at your life and say, man, I am socially awkward. Thank you. You may not have had a date this year. Or maybe you struck out every time you asked somebody out for a date. You may consider yourself so awkward and you're afraid to talk to anybody, but everyone can bring wood for the fire. By the way, if you're struggling, and this is just a helpful advice, if you're struggling, you feel like, man, I've asked several people out for a date and they keep saying no, probably one of the best resources that you can find, and I've listened to him. I wish I had a Brother Rob Osgood when I was in college, but he'll help you and just say, Brother Rob, what is wrong with me? And you'll tell him, right? You'll tell him. Why can't I get a date? Rather than, we'll just keep praying for you. He'll tell you. And it'd be a good idea to say, what do I need to fix? Okay, I've asked 20 people out this year, and they've all said no. Something's not right there. So talk to him. He'll help you. But I'm socially awkward. But everybody can bring wood for the fire. I think about those that sing and that perform. Man, I'm always blown away coming to these Valentine performances and seeing all that you all do. But some of you may sit there thinking, I can't do that. Man, I'd fall apart. You know, I'd get up. Remember the first time I sang, my uncle got me up there to sing a song in church. I was about seventh or eighth grade. And it was just one of those moments where you were nervous. And I went, you know, like that. And it just, it's hard, man. You say, I'm not doing that again. But he said, no, you're going to get up. You're going to sing again. Listen, you may look at yourself and say, I can't sing like them. I can't perform like them. I can't play an instrument like that. And I'm inadequate. You may have been turned down for tour. You may have been turned down for one of the performances. And you're not musically inclined. You're musically declined. You may say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But everybody can bring wood for the fire. You may look at your family structure. You may have come from a good home. And there's college students in here. Your home's not perfect. And it's not been a good home. It's not been a good life. It's been tough. You've had to fight your way all throughout this whole year. But you can bring wood for the fire. You know, Brother Hyle's life, his ministry, we're all blessed by it here today, but his home wasn't perfect. And listen, you don't need to look at these things and say, I don't have this, and this, and this, and just check everything off of all the things you don't have. You just need to look and say, God, would you please just use me? Bring your life, bring your influence, bring your all. Everybody can bring wood for the fire. I think about some in this room, I think everybody has something that probably they're not pleased with, but maybe you look at your outward appearance and say, man, if I were only skinny, or if I had blonde hair, if I had dark hair, if I had hair, you know, if I didn't have to wear glasses, if I had a different nose, or if I didn't have duck feet, or whatever the case may be, you know, if I didn't walk like a, like, you know, you know, if I just had better looks, if I weighed less, or some of you are saying, if I could weigh a little bit more, if I could be 2 feet taller, hey, I could do something for God. But let me say this, whatever you have, you can bring wood for the fire. But some things must go if you're going to keep the fire burning. In Leviticus, we talked about yesterday's remnants. That which was left over from the first fire had to be removed in order to prepare for the new fire. When I think about that, I think of past failures. I think of inadequacy. There's some thoughts here that I want to give you. Some of you right now are discouraged. Maybe financially, you're in a mess. Physically, it's not been your year. I've seen it happen. I've seen students come and just afflicted with illness coming from home and a different diet, a different schedule, just facing a lot of challenges and you're discouraged. Some are discouraged mentally, just exhausted. Some are discouraged spiritually. Let me just say this. It happens. It happens to all of us. We get discouraged. And we cannot stay discouraged. Did you hear what I said? Can't stay there. You can't live there. Does it happen? It sure does. We're human. We walk this earth. We all have our infirmities. Some things have to go. One of those is discouragement. Don't live in the past. Live for today. Live for the now. Live for the moment. Live for Christ. The devil would love nothing more than to take a Christian and shove them back into a corner and say, I render you ineffective, and you're ineffective simply because of discouragement. God wants you to have victory in your life. And some things have to go. This one means a whole lot to me. Here's another one that can really get us down and that can keep us away from putting more wood in the fire. It's delay. Delay. You know, I've seen a lot of precious girls through the years come to our college, and for some reason, don't comment on this, but I've seen, you know, no one's dated them. I don't know what the situation is. And I don't know what's wrong with sometimes our fellows, but I've seen them just go through and then they leave and they end up marrying somebody who's not living for the Lord. And it just hurts me, you know, and they could have stayed and maybe they got discouraged. That may be a man or a lady in this room here today. It just hasn't happened the way you wanted it to pan out, to work. Listen, you know, I'm thankful for my wife. We've been married now almost 30 years, but I went all the way through college, and I dated, but none of them were God's will. And it just seemed like the door was closing, but I went, when I started my master's, that's when we started to date. Listen, it takes time, and some of us are just so ready to just up and out of here. It didn't happen in 3.5 years, it didn't happen in 4 years, and I'm gone. Boy, delay works on us. Delay challenges us. When we're in a situation of delay, we wonder, is God working? You don't even have to ask that, friend. God's always working. God's always doing something. You just need to trust Him. I think about delay so much. What is God's will for my life? What is my future hold? What is going to happen down the road? You know, delay is one thing that attacks so many of us in this Christian life. Listen, be patient and trust the Lord. But if you're not careful, delay can really work you over to the point where you don't bring any wood to the fire. Be so consumed with why haven't things worked out the way I wanted, and why did God not bring this, what I thought should happen? Why didn't He bring this into fruition? What is God doing? Listen, I've said it many times from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. You can't always trace God, but you can always trust God. Discouragement, delay. How about defeat? How about defeat? Let me say this. When it comes to our past failures, maybe you look at your point situation, your grades. Maybe you made some, you know, Pastor puts it so well, sinful choices in your life. And you can live in those past defeats, those sins. Listen, that's going to keep you from bringing wood to the fire. It's going to keep you from bringing your influence out to somebody who needs you. Discouragement, delay, defeat. I want to say this, and I was debating on whether to say it, but I want to go back to the subject of delay. I want to talk to you. We got back here to this ministry, and I knew I needed to get back here. We were doing fine. You know, our marriage was good. Our kids were good. But we needed to, you know, get to higher ground in a sense spiritually. And so we made our move here, and Pastor knew we were coming. I had communicated that to him, and it was almost like the Macedonian call, you know, in the book of Acts. He literally said, would you consider coming over and helping us and helping at City Baptist? And so, but here's what I want to talk to you about this, because I think you're going to relate to it. You got here in this ministry, and Brother Mitchell, I was struggling. I was struggling for a couple years, not only with our daughter's passing, but just struggling. And here's what was going on in my mind. Lord, graduated from here. I went to California, went to Arizona to start a church, California started a school, and now full circle back here. The devil began to whisper into my ear many, many times, already back where you came from. And you should have left this place and never returned. In a sense, you should have just taken off. I don't know if I made sense on that, but he started to work on me to the point of thinking, back to square one. Here you are. Brother Mitchell, that worked on me. It hurt me. I struggled with it. In that time, God began to, those almost now, this summer will be 10 years. Those almost 10 years, God's done a work in my heart. He's helped me, given me more responsibility and more oversight of different things. Just deciding, listen, this is where God has me, and this is where I'm going to stay until He moves. I want to talk to you just, and I'll move on. I'm almost done. God brought you here. You stay put. So, no, I got to finish in 3.5 years. Who said? Who said? Who are you to put God on a timetable? God may be preparing a place for you, and I don't even need to say maybe. God is preparing a place of service for you, but you're on somebody else's timetable. You're saying, no, everybody's doing this. 3.5 years, I'm done. I remember when Dr. Young preached that. I was sitting up in the balcony. He said, some of you need to take more time here in college. You could hear a pin drop, because that's not the trend right now. We want to get out of here. And some of you are going to go out of here half-baked. You're not prepared. You don't know what it's like as far as marriage. You're racing to get to marriage. You're racing to get to ministry. And I understand the marriage part, and I understand the ministry part, but you're all at once, I got to have it. I got to have it all now. Listen, you're not ready. You're going to hurt a ministry. You're going to hurt your marriage. You're going to hurt your future. Take the, see, it's quiet in here. I know it is because it's not what you want to hear. But you must take the time. Let God help you. Let God prepare you. Let God do his work in your life. Even in these times you say, I don't understand it. Why isn't God moving fast enough? God does not move when you say move. If that's what God is to you, then you've got the wrong belief system. He is a holy God and he will do whatever he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. Boy, this subject of delay is a hard one. And you face it. Trust him. If you trust him with your life, as far as your soul, you can trust him with your life. Discouragement, delay, defeat. That's all I'm going to say. I've got another thought. But all across America and around the world, there is a group of people that need you. They don't care about what you know, but they want to know how much you care. Wherever you go, you bring your best. Let your life burn for the Lord Jesus. For those of you who are graduating, you finish your assignments. You tackle every challenge that comes your way. I remember, just a little side note, I figured, hey, you're here at Hiles Anderson. They ask you to do something. Do it. God brought me here for a reason. I'm so privileged. I'll give a shout out to the junior class. I'm so privileged to be their team captain these 2 years. And they're trying to bring me back. And if you can pay for my flight and a week-long hotel stay, meals included. But you know, Brother Collins came up to me and said, would you consider being one of the team captains for Spirit Week? I said, I guess, you know. And the other day, Brother Preston, he had a grin on his face. He asked me and Brother Snipes if we'd do the commentary. I don't know how we did, but, you know, I said, man, sure, let's do it. And you know what? Let me just challenge you. Take on every challenge that comes your way. Don't run. Brother Hiles used to say this for you seniors. Go out in a blaze of glory on your bus route. You finish well. You finish well in that bus route. Love those families to the very end. It's so neat to see our graduates come back and people that are still in First Baptist, they reunited with their former bus captain and bus workers. You want to make an impact wherever you go. Find a spot in this world where God leads you. Get yourself your King James Bible. Get yourself your King James Bible. Find a place in this world where God can use you. Live pure. Live right. Work hard. Use every gift and talent that he's given you to make an impact for eternity. For those of you who are returning this coming year, finish well right now. Complete every assignment. As I said to the others, don't run when the challenges come your way. Live pure and stay busy in the quiet times. Get back here as soon as possible and continue your preparation. You see, not everyone possesses every talent in the world, but everyone can bring wood for the fire. Let's keep the fire burning. Bring your life, bring your all, bring your influence. Forget yesterday's failure and bring wood for the fire. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Everyone's got something to give, don't they? I like that song. Hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. Though be it great or small, that is his test. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. As the music plays, God speak in your heart. Do you respond to him? Have you brought your influence? Have you brought your all? I'm so grateful for the opportunity to preach for the Lord, to stand for him. And some of you are holding back. Some in this room, your failures of the past, defeat, discouragement, delay. Maybe even a dating relationship has hindered you. You're doubting what God can do in your life. Why don't you make it today? You decide. I'm going to bring wood to the fire. I'm going to bring my life, my influence. I'm going to bring my all to Him. And I'm going to burn for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to forget about yesterday's failures. And I'm going to live for Him. I hope that wherever you're sitting, if you're at an altar, you'll tell God those things. Not only tell Him, let's do it. Listen, we need you. Preacher said yesterday, couple of, we need you. College student, I can't tell you how much we need you. We need you to stay on the right track. Don't lose your purity. Do this thing right. Go to the marriage altar right. Go with no regrets. You goofed around this year. Why don't you decide, I'm coming back next year. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be passionate about the work of God. There is a world out there that needs you. And we need to burn for the Lord Jesus Christ.